Welcome back to the CTO Studio. I'm your host, Nikolai Walker. In today's episode, we're going to be chatting with Igor Mamashin, who is the CTO for Agile Stacks. He wrote an article about the seven deadly sins of infrastructure as code, and this episode addresses the first one of that list, which is security shortcuts, as well as a couple others.
Yeah, that's a good plan. So the goal is to help others to recognize these patterns and avoid them, you know, especially as we are talking to CTOs. How as a CTO can I look at what my DevOps team is working and working on, and how can I recognize those, I would say, anti-patterns to tell them to avoid it, right? This will hopefully help our fellow CTOs to get their DevOps automation into shape, right?
Love it. So why don't you take us through the very first one, which immediately I can tell is an issue that I have.
So you find yourself guilty. Yeah, well, that's not just you and security shortcuts. We are talking about number one sin, potentially, is security shortcuts. Is that proper security takes time to implement, and oftentimes in the rush to push our products to market, we take shortcuts, and as you write infrastructure as code, you will oftentimes also initially take those shortcuts, you know, I'm not going to parameterize this password and store it in Vault, I'm going to hard code it, or you know, who needs to have a separate role for each bucket, I'm going to use one role for all the S3 buckets that I have, and all sorts of shortcuts, right? But at the end, you will end up with infrastructure that has too many shortcuts, you know, and not enough best practices implemented, like SSL, TLS, DNS. That should be part of every microservice, every application. It's just a basic requirement in my view. And if you go without that, you expose yourself to risk, right?
Is there ever a case for open permissions in order to deploy, not open permissions in order to empower developers to get work done? Is there ever a case for that, or should you just never, ever, ever do that?
Developers will develop in their development environments, right? But what you do in your stage and production environments is a totally different thing. So, yeah, you know, I can't emphasize that, you know, I don't think that this is an option. You know, if you are not implementing some of the basic security practices in your AWS accounts, you essentially are risking those accounts to be hijacked. You know, people will start mining Bitcoin there or start stealing your data and everything. You know, it's hard to come up with applications that are completely insensitive to security, right?
Yeah, and so my fear, especially in remote teams, is that if you limit, for instance, only one person has access to the Bastion server that accesses the private network, and that person's fast asleep, and the devs are stuck because they don't have the keys. And so now everything kind of degrades to, oh, we're waiting on so-and-so, we're waiting on so-and-so. But you're saying that should just be codified and fixed through permissions, and as opposed to sort of sharing keys.
Yeah, well, that's the beauty of infrastructure as code, right? Is that you standardize, you automate, you rely on your deployment pipeline to push code into different environments. And you shouldn't really depend on a single person to do some kind of manual action in order to allow part of work to happen, right?
Maybe that is the red flag, which is if I'm waiting on someone, then I haven't done this part. I have security shortcuts. Okay, what's the second one, Igor?
Is not implementing end-to-end automation. This is actually what we just discussed. In fact, development teams sometimes cherry pick. I'm going to automate this, but I'm not going to automate that because that part is just too hard and I will just do it manually. But at the end, you're just creating a weak link in this process. Every time there is a human involved, I'm sorry to say, but that oftentimes ends up to be the weak link, somebody you have to wait on, and somebody who can potentially make a mistake, right? Because if you do things manually, you do them differently every time. And think about times when we have this headline stories is that airline reservation systems are down and nobody can board their plane, you know, and they are not able to fix their system for 24 hours due to failed upgrade. Typically, the reason for this outage is not a software bug, but a configuration problem that happened during the upgrade, and now they have they are not able to roll back that upgrade. Just tells me that they have a manual link in that process where somebody just made a mistake, and now they are stuck with undoing that error. You know.
Now that end-to-end automation includes the CI/CD pipeline, the infrastructure as code, like having end-to-end automation.
Yeah. I should be able to push a button and deploy my entire environment, my dev, tests, production environment. And then I should push a button and deploy my entire application, including all the microservices and databases. Ideally, that's the goal. I mean, it's definitely an achievable goal. You know, and every time you have some manual links in this process, that's a potential for error. I'm not saying that humans are completely out of the loop. You can still include a human to review things during deployment, you know, to make sure that automation is working as appropriate. You know, a human might in fact approve a particular deployment, give it a green light, so to speak. You know, I'm not saying that humans should not be part of this process, but we should not rely on human actions for the critical tasks in any of this deployment chain, because that becomes a weak link. It works, but it doesn't always work, and that's a problem, right?
And when it doesn't work, it's really bad because you can't get hold of so-and-so. Okay, so number one was taking shortcuts with security setup and permissions. Number two is to not implement end-to-end automation where we take out some critical people out of the critical path. What is number three, Igor Mamushin?
Number three is insufficient automated testing. So you see, infrastructure as code is essentially code, you know, and we should treat it as a software code. And we should apply all the traditional software development best practices to infrastructure as code as well. That means that we should version it, we should write automated tests, we should run these tests every time there is a change and we need to deploy changes to environments. And we should also test for edge use cases. You know, I don't have to convince you that you have to write unit tests in your regular software to test for some error condition, right? But at this time, still a lot of people are not testing for some edge conditions in their infrastructure as code, you know? And that is, again, potential for error, unpredictable error, you know? And so if you do these things right, you should try to automate testing of your infrastructure as code and test for edge use cases, not just for happy paths, which is easy, but test for the edge use cases as well.
So edge use case, for instance, installing a certificate but not actually having generated, or the generation of the certificate fails, for instance. Let's take something like Terraform, for instance. I can't even visualize what a test script looks like. Is it a specific scripting language for Terraform, or do you just write it in code somehow?
We use a number of various testing tools including our own Hub CLI combined with make files and shell scripts to run Terraform, and then to run verification that certain endpoints are deployed, those URLs that are supposed to give you a response, give you the right response. And we are, in fact, running these tests daily in all three cloud providers, AWS, Azure, and GCP, to make sure that our stack templates continue to work. And when somebody makes a change, commits it to Git, and it causes errors, we can catch that situation quite fast, you know, without waiting for this change to be deployed to production.
Thanks again for joining us here in the CTO studio. I want to give a big shout out to Igor Mamashin, who perfectly delineated the 7 deadly sins of infrastructure as code. And just for review, we want to make sure that you get them. The first one is security shortcuts. Sin number 2 is not implementing automation. And sin number 3 is insufficient testing. I would encourage you to go check out his website, which is agilestacks.com. Also, please check out 7ctos.com. Please subscribe in iTunes to the podcast if you're enjoying what you're hearing. And for a continued conversation on this topic or others, please join us at ctostudio.fm. As always, we will see you next time.